Hello and welcome to Healing from Sin, an internet radio show designed to present a new view of the many powerful possibilities for self-awareness, self-actualization, and self-mastery of our human and spiritual energy, our emotions, and our life experiences. I am Cheryl Glick, your host and author of Life is No Coincidence. And joining me today for part two of our discussion on the changing world of natural processes and human evolution is Harry Massey and David Hamilton, authors of Choice Point, the film, the book, and the movement for today's world. Healing from Within features guests that bring their cutting-edge awareness of science and culture for the prime purpose of helping us know ourselves and the world intimately and honestly, always encouraging a way to future improved universal choices for a better quality of health and life. Hi, Harry, and hi, David.
Hi, Cheryl. Hi there.
Hi. In our first show, we described how people are rallying and awakening from the apathy of previous decades and collectively and individually being given the opportunity via natural events and choice points to make new choices in order to change their personal focus, their goals, and lifestyles to improve the world and the way we interact with each other. Harry and David, in our last show, you described the choice point vision as the way to attain a healthy, wise, and purpose-filled life, making decisions for our fullest potential, and then joining others so we can collectively change ourselves and the world for the better. Harry, the three fundamental aspects that form the foundation of the choice point are social, self, and health. Can you tell us about these foundations?
Absolutely. Everything Choice Point does is I'll start with self, but basically through helping people through helping self improvement, we can basically help people to find and align their purposes. And that's so that they can then go on to collaborate on global solutions. And with the health side, that comes from the background of our health company for the last 10 years of making this health analysis and treatment system. And you know, we believe as a company, if we can help provide people a solid foundation to people's health, then you know that's a core structure that they can then used to go and improve their self. And the social side is within the Choice Point movement, we've created a social network where people can put up all of their ideas. They can also put up all of their skills and gifts, and then the network matches people with great ideas and great skills and gifts, so that they can then basically go on and collaborate on the solution. So overall, it's health, self, and social.
And the health. Would you tell us something about NES Health and the health-related technology known as, I think it's My Health, which you call a portable health system?
Absolutely. I mean, the My Health is a manifestation of that dream I said before that I had 12 years ago to make a home wellness system. And once I'd had that dream, I think within a year I'd met this incredible scientist, Peter Fraser, who'd spent the last 25 years mapping out the information of the human body field. And then with this map, which is a bit like a blueprint of how the body works when it's working perfectly, we were able to create a device that can then both read the information and energy of the body, but also trigger a healing response back in it too. So if you like the MyHealth is a handheld device that's similar to a smartphone with a touch screen, and just by putting it next to your skin, it can both give you the information about your body, but it can also trigger a healing response too. And recent nice thing is like the Hungarian Olympic.
Oh, that's fantastic. How can you get that? Can you order that by going to the website?
In America, if you're a qualified practitioner, you can, which is on neshealth.com. We are making it available for the general public, but probably not till 2014. To be honest.
Oh, so you suggest this to be, what type of practitioners would be using this? Because I think it sounds fantastic.
Naturopaths, homeopaths, chiropractors, medical doctors,
anyone who's
qualified to practice a healing art, basically.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm glad we got to talk about that. Now, David, be the change is, of course, a famous quote from Mohandas Gandhi. How does that fit into the choice point paradigm?
Seamlessly. Yeah, be the change. I think this is, it's something that people know. It's one of these universal phrases that Gandhi kind of kicked off. But, you know, in line with the social network stuff that Harry was talking about, one of the things we pointed out in the film and the book is that we are embedded in social networks. So what this means is that the choices that we make affect other people. And what you see very clearly, I mean, lots of research shows this. I mean, Harvard have done fantastic research where they show that even our emotions are contagious, our social behaviours are contagious. And what that basically means is that your behaviour rubs off on someone else, which rubs off on someone else.
Absolutely.
And you get this ripple effect. And it's almost like, you know, if you drop a pebble in a pond and it creates a lot of waves, and then at the other side of the pond, a little lily pad rises and falls. And that's rising and falls and falling because of the wave. Well, the wave could be, from our perspective in our lives, the wave could be one of your actions, one of your choices, even an act of kindness or compassion. So basically it means that everything that we are being is affecting everything else and everyone else. So to understand Be the Change, then, if we understand that we're affecting everyone else, which is really another way to say we're interconnected in this world through social networks. So as whatever we're being, we're always affecting other people. So if we change what we're being, and if, to use Gandhi's example, if a person wanted more peace in the world, if we become more peace in our lives, then there will be a ripple effect through our interactions with other people, and we will start to influence peace around us. Although it doesn't have to be just peace, it could be compassion, it could even be aligning your purpose in some particular way, but whatever we're doing, we're always affecting everyone else.
And on the last show, part one, we talked about empathy. Now, people, as we are evolving and as we are more sensitive to our own needs and the needs of others, we actually can feel the vibration. You can walk into a room, and if someone is unhappy or angry, you can feel. You don't have to even talk about it. It comes very clearly through. So this is very important, how we are creating a wave, a vibrating force, life force. And as we create happiness and joy and well-being within ourselves, we help to send it out to others and shift their, perhaps, unhappiness or lack of content with their conditions. And therefore, another choice point is created, and we create something new for someone else. We can't change them by talking about it. They have to find that moment in time when they want to align to new self-behavior and create new opportunities. But we certainly can be the example by how we live our life. And I think that's what Gandhi meant, and that's what you were just talking about. And that is about the new wave of empathy that is growing. And there was something else that was written in the book. And Jody Orton, who is an attorney, and she has taken many people to live, children, into her home. She's become a foster parent. And she wrote something really beautiful and amazing, and it has to do with this. And she wrote, "It's amazing to wake up in the morning and know that your purpose is defined, that you don't need to justify it, and that you are simply doing what it is that you're doing because you're supposed to be doing it. It's amazing to put your feet on the ground and just thank God for another day. Okay, here we go, and get up and do it and know that you're going to make a difference in the life of another person. You don't have to look for it. It's just there. And I think as we're evolving, that's becoming true for more and more people. And this thought takes us to another view of purpose and life plan and our interconnection to personal goals, cycles, and how each of us are the pieces that create and build the expansion of universal life. So I know you and I feel exactly as Jody. And I had another woman recently on my show, Dr. Charlotte Tomano. She was a nun and she is a neuropsychologist. And she said, "We are becoming the best versions of our human and spiritual essence, grateful for life and opportunities to learn and share and be part of the divine dance of life." So, David, this is important. And Harry, how are we going to give our listeners a few tips for how they can find their life purpose?
It's really well explained on our Choice Point Movement site. We wrote another companion free ebook that helps people through that process, and we made another four little videos about it. But to give a short explanation, I think the first thing to do, like when you're in a choice point and you're wondering about what your purpose should be, is just look at what your skills and what your passions are. What on earth am I really interested in? Because if you're not interested in something or don't have any passion or skill in it, that's definitely not the right area to go in. So you'll define a few areas that you're passionate of and you've got skills in. And then from that you can get much more detailed and refined, and it's at that point you reverse it and go, okay, well I've got these skills, I've got this interest, how can I apply that into the outer world and into the wider world around me? Like where does my interest and skill set fit into the global patterns? And then you really start to build up a picture of what those patterns are, and you can only do that by sort of researching on the internet, asking lots of people questions, just getting out there and getting information back. And as you start to build up that picture of the outer world, and you've already done this examination of your inner world, then you basically match the inner your inner purpose and interests to where these outer patterns could be going.
And Harry, I think also physically, people need to pay attention to signs within them, like to their gut, to their heart, to the outside world, and how they're interfacing with it. Because the transformation will start to begin, but it's very important to search inside themselves for what satisfies at a deeper level. Because you'll never be more powerful than when you find your authentic self. So what exactly is a choice point?
A choice point
comes from physics. It's a term borrowed from physics. Can you tell us some more?
Yeah, basically it's a window of the way we talked about it in the film and the book is that it's a window of opportunity where the choice that you make has the greatest potency to affect the future. So think about this in a really simple way. Let's look at the cycle of night and day. So as night comes to an end, then day begins. So you can think of this as a cycle. So this could be, I'm talking about night and day, sleeping and waking, just in the same way that we could be in a cycle in our lives of social behavior or events seeming to happen to us. So let's break it down to the night-day thing. So just at the end of the night, you have just as the sun is rising and light is beginning to come in. So you could say that's the beginning of the day. Now, if you had to get up really early in the morning and make your decisions, your choices right then on how you're going to lead your day, then you're off to a running start. In a sense, you're surfing the wave of the next day. You're creating the change. But if you lie in your bed till 10 or 11 o'clock and then get up, then you're playing catch-up. So the choices that you make now don't have very much potency because you're really just playing catch-up and everyone else is making all the choices for you. You're really just living in their world. So the choice point is that small window of opportunity when the sun was rising. So at the end of one cycle, the beginning of another, where your choice really can majorly affecting that cycle, whether that's a cycle in your personal life or whether on a global scale, the beginning of a cycle, so that a window of opportunity around now when global choices can affect the future. I mean, in fact, you talked about the shooting in Connecticut, and here is a window of opportunity that President Obama spoke, I watched him in the news earlier, a window of opportunity to change something. So that these things don't happen again.
He spoke about bringing the political parties together bring gun control laws to change them so that we can help people realize this is not a toy.
Yeah.
This is something perhaps should be in a museum at this point where we can go play with them, where it's contained and not have them in homes. And brought to schools, and the lobbyists work for more and more guns because they make more and more money, and that's the currency they're dealing with. We need them to start dealing with the currency of empathy, as we just talked about before. And I believe that as a result of what's happening now, there will be great change in that area too, and we've needed it for a long time. I'm not saying people shouldn't have the opportunity to learn how to use weapons, but they don't need them in the home, and they don't need their children using them or teaching them unless it's for, to be a military person or a police officer or a security guard or people who need it for their work. Mm. It's not a toy, and we can see the consequences of our values and our thinking not being in line with the highest way of living in cooperation with others, right? Now, you also mentioned, this was a little confusing for me, a fractal pattern or a cycle. That's the language that's used in the book. And you say fractals are similar on all scales that you look at and are repeating patterns in a person's life. Much like a snowflake or a leaf, if you break it apart, the individual parts will still resemble the whole leaf in its overall shape and texture. And patterns are like that. We may do something at one moment in time, and then 2 weeks down the road, a piece of that will continue, and then another piece. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how fractal patterns relate to the whole universe and to our brains and to a texture in society?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of, the easiest way of seeing fractals is looking in nature, and you can see it if you're looking up at the huge spirals of galaxies, and you can see that spiral going all the way down into the solar system and then into our own DNA and even into the spiral of an electron spinning and down further than that, and also similarly, and if you're looking at a brain, as neurons fire, that also looks the same as a huge shot out in the galaxies of when you're looking at lots of galaxies, they also look like different neurons, and on a more more easy level, like you said, you can see it in a snowflake, or you can see it in tree branches and leaves and everywhere else. But what's so fascinating about fractals is they don't just exist in 3D space; they actually exist in time as well. And you can see these fractal patterns and cyclical patterns. Obviously, as we were mentioning earlier, you can see it in the whole Mayan calendar. You can see it being formed from astrology, but on a more fundamental level, you can actually see it in your day-to-day life. And you can have some incident or something that happens to you that's really significant as a child, and that can trigger off a pattern, and that pattern might repeat 7-10 years later, where you get a similar window of opportunity. But obviously, as the cycle comes around again, you can instead choose to do something different, because often when something happens to us when we're younger, often we'll let it go, it take us in a more destructive way. But we have the opportunity to gain understanding of what that pattern is and repair it so that we can make better choices for the future. And obviously, and you also get, a reflection of these patterns that might take 7 or 10 years in your life, just in your day-to-day experience too. Because if you have something that takes you down or makes you angry, over a long period, obviously, you get ups and downs of that. Of that oscillation of anger in a day too. So
our behavior are patterns from our childhood, and many of us are repeating over and over again the programming that was given to us, and sometimes incorrectly. But our brains and the cosmos, though they're very different, they do have the same texture, and there seems to be this similar texture also in society. That's why humans come together in social networks and towns and cities, just like galaxies come together out there in the cosmos, and brain cells cluster together in the neural network. So we're really all part, life is really all part of this expanding universe and energy, informational environment or system, and we're all sort of connected that way together. And the time has come to make circumstances repeat, but with different choices. Because when we have this wisdom and we have the technology now, we don't have to react the way we did as children in fear and limited ability. We have the chance now to shake off those restrictions, right? And do something very much more creative. So let's go on to something else. You say that the people who have made a positive global impact, and those who have also made a lot of money, perhaps, because people want to know how to do that, have a secret we can all learn. What would that secret be? To do something important and enjoyable in our lives.
It's no great secret. It's in the title of the movie, which is Choice Point: Align Your Purpose. But what they all did, and perhaps it's best with an example. Like if you look at Richard Branson, when he was at school, he was really upset about the Vietnam War, And so he decided to set up a student magazine to bring more awareness so students could protest about the Vietnam War, and his headmaster at the time gave him a choice. He said, "Well, you can either carry on with school and do that, or you'll have to leave school and do your magazine." So he chose to leave school and do his magazine, much against his. Well, I think I'm not sure what his parents thought, to be honest, but he really stood for his purpose at a very young age, and that led to selling records through the magazine, led to Virgin Music, led to everything else he ever did since. So certainly the secret for him and for pretty much everyone that we interviewed who sort of overcome there, and that was obviously a significant choice point for him. He could have gone the other way, what they all did is basically align their purpose with a pattern that was going to be beneficial for lots of people.
I think also part of the secret is, and I like this, it was in the book, and this is a hard thing for me to do because I'm very trusting of people and I listen very carefully, and sometimes I don't make my own opinion. I just take it verbatim. So we really can't accept everything we are told. We need to separate fact from opinion. And it's easy to blame the world or something you have read, but it's time to get past blaming anybody. What's important is to take information and go with what resonates within you as truth, and to give up listening simply to so much media and other people's choices or opinions, and to make our own. So I kind of like that in the book. And Peter Buffett, he's a composer and musician. He stresses the importance of listening very carefully to to answers in an attempt to discern what will work for your own purpose and in moving forward in your own choice or choice point moment. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's three parts to the core choice point philosophy, and one is to understand your world, and the second is to align your purpose, and the third is to be the change. And you know, the central part of align your purpose, how you actually align your purpose is through understanding your world, and so if you're sitting in a choice point and you really don't know what to do or what choice to make, you know, the first thing to do is basically sit back and start examining what your skills are, what are your passions, and once you get the answers to those, then you start doing loads and loads of research and asking loads and loads of questions, so that you can start to build up a picture of your world, i.e. so you can understand where patterns are going that are going to help you. And once you know where patterns are going, if you then align your purpose with where those patterns are going, it's going to be like sailing with the wind behind you, or you know, or paddling downstream, or any of those sorts of analogies, and you know, life will become much, much easier, and you know, what you're doing will scale that much quicker, and it'll take much, much less energy, and you know, that's really what all of these, you know, that's really the common theme in the film of, you know, of what you were saying with Peter Buffett and all these people. You know, they spend a lot of time getting accurate information so they can predict where patterns are going. So if you've got accurate information and you know where patterns are going, you can make much, much better choices. So, you know, that's the primary thing I'd say to people who don't know what to do in a crisis or a choice point. Well, just start to understand your world, and the answers always pop out from that understanding.
Yeah, it's like Barbara Hubbard says, crisis often precedes transformation and innovation, and problems are evolutionary drivers, so they're necessary. We need these happenings. We need these, how can we say, choice point where the road divides, and we've got to look at what we've been doing and where we're going to go next to have a life that's more creative and find a better way of doing things. And in doing that, we often learn to work together for the common good. That's correct, yeah?
Absolutely.
All right. So, things to remember. This is interesting, and it comes out of your book, and I've discovered it in many ways from many people who have been on the show. All reality are pieces of information, and we're all connected to this information. And our choices always affect the reality around us. And when we watch the interplay between destiny, or our life plan, and free will, our choice, we can align with patterns through our thoughts and our emotions and our beliefs and actions, and we can find the way for what we were born to do and how we were born to live cooperatively and peacefully. And it's through understanding what's around us that we can utilize, who's around us, the people who are around us to work with. So an individual life is the sum of many things. It's the patterns of energy and information that we align to, both consciously and unconsciously. And as you said, paddling down the river, life is the journey of all the currents we are traveling on, and we can choose to travel on one that brings us greater joy and harmony, or travel on a road that brings us chaos and confusion. That is the choice. That is the difference between free will and making possibly a better choice point in the moment. And I believe I want to thank you both, Harry Massey and David Hamilton, for creating a wonderful book, film, and the Choice Point Movement, which is a necessary and powerful directive plan for personal and global evolution. We invite our listeners to learn more about the people and issues described in this plan by going to choicepointmovement.com. In summarizing this episode of Healing from Within, Harry, David, and I have suggested that we all have the power to make changes within ourselves, thereby creating a better reality and an effect that ripples through time and space and eternity. It is in the alignment to the cycles of the physical world and each other, and to harmonious goals that allow for this personal expansion. Many people worldwide are now in the process of remembering from a deep soul level that in changing our thoughts and actions and by observing our emotional responses, we may find satisfying personal relationships, work, and charitable endeavors, and be of service to others. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to leaders in the field of science, quantum physics, medicine, holistic healing, spiritualism, and higher communication for developing your own unique innate spiritual gifts and for becoming your own best version of life.